Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Comedian and actor Colin Quinn will headline a comedy benefit for the Woodstock Land Conservancy at the Woodstock Playhouse this Saturday, April 16th at 7 p.m. The Woodstock Land Conservancy is committed to the protection, preservation, and stewardship of open lands, forests, wetlands, scenic areas, and historic sites in Woodstock and the surrounding areas. Colin Quinn was on Saturday Night Live from 1995 to 2000, hosting Weekend Update for a few of his years there. He recently wrapped up an off-Broadway run of his one-man show, Colin Quinn, The New York Story, which ran at the Cherry Lane Theater and was directed by Jerry Seinfeld. Last summer, he played Amy Schumer's character's father in the hit film Trainwreck. Colin Quinn, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Thanks.
I gather you have a personal connection to the Woodstock Land Conservancy, and that's why you're performing this benefit. Tell us about the connection first, please.
Well, my connection is my aunt is part of the, you know, whatever the thing is for the conservancy. And also, I used to live in Woodstock when I was a kid, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you think it's important to conserve that land?
Of course, yeah. I still love it up there, you know? It's got a certain, smell to it that no place else has, you know?
When you're approached to do something like this, how do you decide if you have the time and if you will do a fundraiser for an organization like the Woodstock Land Conservancy?
Well, my aunt says, when can you do it? And then I decide if it's worth being shunned by my family as a stuck-up, he's changed completely, no good, snob, show business fool. And then I decide I don't want everyone to know that about me, even though it's true. So then I do the benefit, and then they don't know it. I keep it off for a couple more months.
What kind of material will you do at this show?
I'll be talking about everything, you know, just about the whole country, the whole world, you know what I mean? Like, I do a lot of stuff about human nature and just how it's all, you know, how it was all a great idea that fell apart.
You fairly recently wrapped up the off-Broadway run of The New York Story, directed by Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, end of January I did.
Once you end a run like that, does that material, does that show go away? Are you done with that, or does some of it still pop up when you perform live?
Well, not really, not much of it for this particular thing, you know, because that one I put away, and I can't really, even though it's only been 2 months, I already forgot it, you know. And, you know, especially with everything going on with elections, and just when you start discussing the little bit of national, I mean, it's very repetitive national discussion that we have every time, but it kind of gets me sparked into thinking, like, wow, what is going to happen? You know what I mean? Like, where are we going to go? Like, everyone's in this kind of weird space right now where it's like, you know, this could be the end. And, you know what I mean? It's a very apocalyptic feeling, or at least a lot of people speak very apocalyptically lately, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like this is the end, you know. And it's very interesting. The whole idea of delegates is interesting to me. You know, the fact that really people are going, wait a minute, so my vote doesn't count? And it's like, well, not in the primary. And it is kind of interesting, like, all these things kind of getting revealed, you know. Like, even that Panama thing where they, you know, the money of the Cayman Islands, whatever it was, all that money offshore, you know, offshore banking. And then yesterday, a whole thing with Goldman Sachs, the $5 billion they paid, you know. It's all very, it feels like everything's kind of out front lately, you know, in kind of an interesting way, you know.
How much news media do you consume, and how do you keep track of it and know how to think what you think?
I always feel like my whole thing is trying to get to, like, the human side of it, you know, like what's going on. Like, I always feel like it's very human, you know, like it's all very human. You know, I live like a block and a half from Goldman Sachs, by the way. I live a block and a half from there, you know what I mean? And it's like, and Wall Street doesn't really, I couldn't imagine how anyone could get rid of Wall Street because it doesn't exist. Like, if you go to Wall Street now, there's nobody around. It's just all, like, apartments. Like, it's kind of in the air. It's almost like, you know, it's just part of the, like, it's cyberspace. And nobody really has any solution. It's just, I'm watching right now, I happen to be watching the show Borderland about the, you know, the Guatemalans going through Mexico and this train to come to America. And it's like, everybody knows whatever the problems are, no matter what angle you look at, but nobody has a solution to anything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How do you solve these problems? Does anyone know? It's kind of interesting. Now, I know it doesn't sound funny the way I'm saying it right now, but it's funny in the sense that people actually act like they have the solutions to problems, I guess, maybe, you know? But anyway, I talk about everything, you know, everything.
So before I came into the studio to speak with you, I watched a number of episodes of your web series Cop Show online on YouTube. How did that project come about?
Because I've never been on Law and Order, you know, so
right.
I was kind of like, I can't believe I've never been on Law and Order. Like, it really bugs me. I actually do a routine about not being on Law and Order in my act sometimes. And it was just bugging me thinking about that. And then one day I was passing the Law and Order steps, and I was like, I should make a short film about how I've never been on Law and Order. And I was like, I should do my own Law and Order about how I've never been on Law and Order.
And then how did it get produced by L Studio, by Lexus?
L Studio. We brought it to everybody, and everybody kind of passed on it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When I say kind of passed on it, I mean they passed on it.
Right.
So then finally, L Studio is the only one to put up money.
And you get your friends to co-star on it and then make fun of them.
Exactly. I mean, that's really, you know, that's really what it's all about. I mean, ultimately, it's, you know, everything's kind of like meta today anyway, let's face it. So it's sort of kind of, you know, it all makes sense somehow.
Why do you think it is that you've never been on Law & Order?
You know, I've thought about it a little bit. I don't want to overly entertain it because then I really will be in a paranoid place. Because it's almost impossible to not have been on Law & Order.
When you live in New York, yeah.
Who I am and how long I've been here and what I represent, you know, it's just, it's insane to me. It's an outrage. But there's two theories that have been put out there, both of them by me, since I'm the only one that cares about this up here.
Well, no, I'm curious about it now, too.
Thank you. But sure. I mean, there's two theories. I mean, the people that have speculated just are just me.
Sure.
And here's the theories they've come up with. One is because they don't use me because I'm almost like too powerful of a presence in some way. I'm like too New York, so I kind of make the show a little bit like there's something about me that's almost too, you know, I don't want to say charismatic because that sounds conceited, but, you know, something about my essence that they have to keep away from for some reason. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it exposes something in them. And the other theory is that when I was on SNL, I met Dick Wolf, the creator of Law & Order, a couple of times at SNL parties, you know, and I was kind of a big shot, you know, you might say. And the three times I met him, every time I didn't recognize him. And he'd go, Colin Quinn, hey. And I go, hi. He goes, Dick Wolf. I was like, hi. So I kind of blew him off back when I was, you know, strutting around the city. So maybe he... You know, he was like, yeah, screw it. Not that he vindictively didn't put me on,
mm-hmm.
but he's probably like, he's certainly not going to do me any favors.
Sure.
Which, let's face it, would I do the same to him in the same position? Of course, you know.
Mm-hmm. There are, for the cop show, filming within the cop show, the scripts are very, very terrible, really bad. that must be fun to perform.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Because if there's one thing that I think we've all seen many of, it's cop shows.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watch cop shows now, like, now the new cop shows that I watch that are kind of like that are like these, the one person that's in sort of an international vein, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of times on cable, on USA or whatever, they'll have like, oh, this is like, you know, they're trying to do like versions of, you know, Claire Danes' show and, you know, Homeland, and then they'll, or they'll just be doing, so it's always like the operatives, and everything's just kind of like, you know, the best. This guy graduated from Princeton, but then, you know, he went to become a terrorist. It was like never a guy that graduated from like a community college, always Princeton, top of his class. And, you know, everybody's like the best. It's just every cliche is just, there's so many cliches when you watch them long enough, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you're exploiting them on your series, which is so fun.
Yeah. Because nobody's mediocre, you know? Everything's got to be like, oh, this is the best. There's no mediocre criminals or cops. Mediocrity is really what we live under. We're all mediocre, but nobody wants to admit it. So then we have to, these people are kind of like, we look at them the way we'd be, where we think we'd be if we were the people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by human nature. You know what I mean? Whether it's, you know, somebody at Goldman Sachs or so. Like what I learned in my life too is like, you know, it doesn't matter if it's like the most radical left-wing movement, the most radical right-wing movement. It's not like a bunch of geniuses in the world because nobody really has solutions to most problems, you know? So it's like, it's just kind of variations on that, you know?
The press material for the benefit for the Woodstock Land Conservancy says there will be a VIP post-reception with refreshments and a chance to chat with you. Do you enjoy the chat?
I mean, I didn't know there was a chance to chat with me. I thought it was just a couple of you know, local big shots taking a picture with me and then move them out. But,
well, I think possibly you can dictate the parameters of the chat, and it could just be a photo, I guess.
But we both know. See, here's what I mean when I say human nature. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the world. This is the world. This is like, I like microcosms, you know. So let's say I'm at the chat. Okay, this could be the world. Just think of any situation, economically, war, anything, right? I'm at the chat. So there's a bunch of people trying to be civilized that also said, oh, I'll get a chance to chat with them. I paid extra. Then there's like three pushy idiots that dominate the whole time chatting with me.
Mm-hmm.
And me, instead of biting one of them in the neck like I should, go, I don't want to make a big thing out of it. And then we all end up losing because of those couple of people.
That sounds like what could certainly happen. But maybe it'll be okay.
But this is what happens in every... This is what I mean when I say it's a microcosm. I'm saying this is the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is I'm being complicit by not biting them in the ear. You know, not that suddenly I'm responsible for the whole thing, but as a group, I feel like the world would be a better place if, as a group, we got together and said, hey, that person's been chatting in for 5 minutes. Let's kill them. And leave their body in this... in the room.
Or
you know?
At least move them along.
Yeah, move them along. But, you know, moving along will only solve, that's a Band-Aid on the cancer that is that person. You know what I mean?
Colin Quinn will perform at the Woodstock Land Conservancy's fundraiser benefit this Saturday. Probably won't kill anybody. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today and have fun in Woodstock.
Thanks, sir. All right. I'll see you.
Bye.
I'll see you the meet and greet afterwards.
I don't think
we're gonna make it a night. We're gonna make it a night to remember. Why well, you won't be one of those people?
No,
you seem like a nice person.
But now I'll be like a witness at least, and that seems time consuming. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Colin Quinn will perform at a benefit for Woodstock Land Conservancy at the Woodstock Playhouse this Saturday, April 16th at 7 p.m. To learn more, visit woodstocklandconservancy.org. His meta Law & Order parody web series, Cop Show, is streaming on YouTube and at lstudio.com. These links are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.